Welcome to Ghouls Night Out with your hostesses, Brandy and Jody.
Hello, beautiful ghouls. Welcome. This is Brandy. I'm here with my sister, Jody.
Hello.
So, I have some former wedding guests with messy experiences to start with. So I was dating this guy, and his sister sent out wedding invitations for the wedding in Hawaii. His mother offered to pay for us to attend, so the two of us and his parents flew out. At the airport, the happy couple greeted us, and we all went to dinner. There were lots of toasts and happy memories, and quite a few of her family members attended this dinner. The day of the wedding, my then-boyfriend and I woke up to frantic banging on our hotel room. It was his mom crying. Long story short, the groom-to-be let the bride know that he would not be attending the wedding. Turns out, dude never sent his family invites because he knew, long before the wedding, that he was going to bail. He just finally did it on the wedding day itself.
What a dick.
What a dick. Why would you do that?
Wanted a trip to Hawaii?
That's pathetic.
Mm-hmm.
Next one, they ran out of food for the last two tables who just happened to be co-workers of the bride. We had to order pizza delivery and pay for it ourselves. The bride's family refused to pay for it. You never remember the good weddings, but never forget the bad ones. That's rude.
It is very rude.
My husband picked up a shift at work on our wedding night. Don't worry, though. He didn't actually end up working on our wedding night. He was just cheating. I found out way later. It was COVID, and I discovered later by going through his phone, finally after the most sus behavior in the world, that he wasn't actually going to work like a third of the time he claimed, and actually hadn't been faithful ever with anyone he was with. He's the ex. Funny enough, recently he tried to beg me to take him back, and I just sent it to all his current... I sent it to his current girlfriend, the main side, who actually blew up her own marriage to be with this fool.
He sounds like a winner.
Yeah. My uncle got so drunk at my sister's wedding that he confessed to having an affair and completely ruined the family. Oh, shit. My sister was the maid of honor at a wedding where the bride's father didn't like the groom. A fight broke out, and the bride's father, uncle, brother, and the groom, and his father and brother were arrested. The bride spent her wedding night at my house crying her eyes out. They divorced about 2 years later.
Oh my gosh.
God. At my ex-friend's wedding, I showed up prepared to be the maid of honor and found out from the makeup person that there was another maid of honor. We found out she had two of us working as maid of honor. Secretly, we both quit.
Why? What the fuck?
Well, that's a lot of work. I mean...
Yeah, but I mean, come on.
It'd be like double the people doing stuff for you.
That's rude.
It is rude. A long time ago, I was invited to the wedding of a college friend. The invitation was very fancy, so we dressed up in suits to attend. I had a difficult time finding the place. We arrived and found out that it was a literal horse pasture. It smelled of manure and was extremely hot on a summer day, so that made it worse. I was looking for the groom to offer congratulations and found him dressed in shorts and a t-shirt playing football with some buddies. The bride was nowhere to be found. They had already gotten married earlier in the day, and she was inside taking a nap. We had arrived a good 45 minutes before the time listed on the invitation. Anyway, for the reception, they set up a potato bar in the pasture, and there were millions of flies covering the food. We excused ourselves and never saw or heard from him again.
Ew.
Holy shit. What the fuck?
That's disgusting. What the hell?
Why even bother?
Yeah, really? That's just stupid.
The priest called the bride by the wrong name for the entire two-hour-long ceremony. The poor bride corrected the priest each time, the first 10 times or so. The priest was the groom's uncle. The groom never corrected him. Eventually, the bride looked like she had tears in her eyes and was going to start bawling, so she stopped correcting him. The priest just kept using the wrong name through the end of the ceremony. Oh my God, what a dick.
Oh my gosh.
It was my close friend's wedding. I flew internationally to attend, got my nails done, hair and makeup done. I bought a $500 dress. I made it through the ceremony. Immediately after, I went to the bathroom and was uncontrollably vomiting and shitting. It was everywhere. I had to ask the staff for help. They ended up closing off the bathroom because vomit was all over the walls. I had to exit the party covered in my own filth.
Ugh.
What the fuck? That's awful.
That is horrifying. It
must have been like food poisoning or something.
Yeah.
Holy shit. I was all set to be the best man for my friend's wedding. It was going to be a small wedding at their church with a lunch afterward. At 7:30, the morning of the wedding, the groom called me and told me the wedding was canceled, and he said that he would call me and explain later. He didn't call me the next day or the next. After that, he just dropped off the face of the earth. I never saw him again. The groom didn't want to discuss it. I called his dad, and he said that the groom had left town for boot camp. It was really a weird situation.
That is weird.
That is weird. I wonder what happened.
Mm-hmm.
I was supposed to be in the bridal party and was told that things were casual and to just show up on the day wearing something dressy casual that I felt good in. I showed up, saw the wedding party in coordinated outfits with their corsages, bouquets, and the whole nine yards. I realized they hadn't had the guts to tell me they didn't want me in the bridal party after all. We took our gift, checked out of the hotel, and paid for their specific recommendation and drove 800 kilometers back home with our wedding present. I am not friends with any of these people anymore, thank God.
What is wrong with people?
Seriously. Holy shit. And my last one, it was my own. I was trapped in an elevator with my groom for hours the night prior. I was mistakenly sent a red Hummer with no AC on the hottest day of the year instead of a limo I rented. The wedding commissioner was 2 hours late and didn't have a phone. I rented a boat to get married and cruise around on it. It was an old icebreaker with lots of character, and I planned all the decor around it. On the day the boat didn't work, we had to ask the guests to grab whatever was on their table and reset it on a new boat. We had maroon everything, and the colors were teal and coral.
That's horrible.
That boat was just coming back from a bar party cruise, so they hosed it down. As soon as I got on it, my entire dress soaked up the water to my waist. Oh my God.
Oh my gosh.
I had to change into my friend's sundress. There was not enough food and it was disgusting. The new boat had used all the fresh water on board on the last cruise, so they hooked up the lines to some nasty salt water and were making drinks with that until people realized it. There was no water on board, and there were no gun drinks. Again, on the hottest day of the year. Then we danced to two songs, and they shut the music off as it had to be by 12, or though we had started hours late after the first boat didn't work. I was so pissed, I stormed off the boat. In the boat move, one of the bridesmaids lost her keys and ended up having to come to our hotel room at the end of the night. Didn't get refunded a dime. There was honestly so much more, but I think I've blocked it all out.
Oh my gosh.
Holy shit. I hope she's happily married.
Is that, I was going to say, is that an omen?
Yeah, I don't know. Oh my God.
A bad one? Speaking of omens.
Oh.
I have got a dictionary of omens and superstitions.
Segway.
And we are just going. Yes, it was a very good segue, Brandy. So Brandy is going to give me a word, and I'm going to see if there's an omen or superstition about it.
I want the word crow.
Okay. Oh, like I can read it without my glasses. I'm not in my 20s anymore.
None of us are. Well, some people, but not us.
Not even close.
No.
All right. See if I can find crow. All right. Throughout the world and from the earliest times, the crow has been looked upon as an omen of misfortune and death. The bird is widely associated with witchcraft and is said to have the gift of prophecy. Hence, it has proved a major ingredient in many potions of fortune-telling. A crow flying about a house and cawing signifies a death to come, while to see one of the birds perched alone is an omen of bad luck. A flock of crows flying from a wood is a sign of hard times ahead, while their activities at dawn and evening are weather portents. If they are seen flying towards the sun in the morning, the weather will be fine and dry, but to be spotted stalking around water at nightfall is a sign of a storm in the offing. The number of them is any one place also, wait. The number of them in any one place also indicates the future of the eyewitness, according to this verse from Maryland in America. One crow sorrow, two crows mirth, three crows wedding, four crows birth.
Huh. Interesting. How about ladder?
Okay. Oh, look. I opened up right to it. The superstition that to walk under a ladder propped up against a wall or building will bring bad luck can be seen in practice everywhere, though few people probably realize that the origin of this tradition is linked with our old friend, the devil, once again. The ancients maintained that a leaning ladder formed a natural triangle And as the triangle was a symbol of the Holy Trinity, to walk through it showed a lack of respect and an affinity with the evil one. Should you do so inadvertently, though, all is not lost, for superstition says you should immediately cross your fingers and keep them crossed until you see a dog. You may also try the more unlikely remedy of spitting on your shoe and leaving the spittle to dry. According to another tradition, if you are a single person and commit this offense, you have no chance of marrying for at least a year. The same superstition also exists in many non-Christian countries, where all actions which cover the head can lead to misfortune. For example, some Japanese have a fear of telegraph wires and believe if they walk underneath them, they will be possessed by devils. In a number of European countries, it is believed to be bad luck to reach through the rungs of a ladder for anything. And some Dutch people still claim that walking under a ladder is an omen that you will be hanged. The Americans also believe that if a black cat should pass under a ladder, then whoever next climbs up it is in for some bad luck. Finally, if you want to be successful in life, climb up a ladder with an odd number of rungs, but be careful. Apart from the obvious danger to life and limb, to slip is an omen that you are going to lose some money.
Oh. Okay. How about hummingbird?
Nope. No hummingbirds.
All right. How about
dragonfly?
Okay.
The dragonfly will serve as an omen for a fisherman, but only if he is a good man and not one given to bad habits. According to superstition, if such a man casts his line and a dragonfly comes along, the creature will hover over the spot where fish are plentiful and aid him to success. To the fisherman of poor character, though, he will only indicate the empty reaches of the water.
Hmm. Doesn't sound very good, does it?
No. How about cardinals?
Okay.
Nope, not in here.
How about, are peonies in there?
No. There's peas.
How about bats?
The uneasiness which these creatures arouse in many people has led them to be considered important omens in several respects. Should one fly near you, says a widespread belief, then beware, for someone is trying to betray or bewitch you. Should one fly around your house three times or actually fly into a room, this is an indication of a death or very bad luck to someone you know. A bat hitting any building is a sign of rain. While bats flying around at twilight before their normal time of emergence means good weather is on the way. Some superstitions maintain that the bat is the luckiest of all animals, and to ensure luck for himself, a person should keep a bat's bone in his clothes. Another belief of European origin claims that the right eye of a bat kept in the waistcoat pocket will make a man invisible.
Seriously?
In Africa and Australia, among other places, there is a belief that the life of a bat represents that of a man, and to kill one will shorten the life of a man. The most extraordinary and persistent belief about bats is that if one flies into a woman's hair, it will become entangled and can only be released by cutting the hair. Despite actual experiments to establish whether there was any truth in this belief, and the emphatic result that there is not, the creature is still universally loathed by women.
The things that they experiment on.
I know.
And like, okay. Who funds this shit?
There's bacon. Let's see what bacon says.
Bacon.
Bacon is believed to be a powerful curative for fever and constipation, according to a European superstition, but only apparently if it has been stolen.
Oh my God. That's hilarious.
Oh, that's great.
How about roses? Are roses in there? Let's see.
Rose. If while someone is holding a rose, the petals fall, leaving only the stem, it is believed to be an omen that the person will shortly die. It is also said to be unlucky to scatter rose leaves on the ground. If roses bloom in the autumn, then this is a sign that misfortune of some kind will strike in the following year. Like many of our modern superstitions, those associated with roses have come down to us from the Romans, who believed that the rose could protect the dead from evil spirits, and so decorated their tombs with a flower. Not all beliefs about the rose are grim, though, for it can be used as a means of love divination by a young girl. If on Midsummer Eve she wraps a rose carefully away in a piece of clean white paper and keeps it until Christmas Day, and it is then found to be still intact, she can wear it in her buttonhole, and whichever young man first admires it will become her husband.
Seriously? Her buttonhole?
That didn't sound very appropriate.
No, it does not. If you notice this, you'll be my husband. Stupid. Is skull in there?
Let's see. In the deep south of America, there is still a lingering belief in what was originally an old British superstition that white moss taken from the skull of a murdered man has special magical and medical properties, particularly as a love potion. At first, the potion was said to be most effective in the curing of fits and headaches, but in the New World, its attributes have been extended still further. The origin of the belief seems to be the idea that the skull of a man whose life had suddenly been terminated still retains much of the life force, and this can be drawn on for special purposes. It was also claimed in Ireland for many years that if a man took an oath on a skull and was lying as he did so, he would be struck dead soon thereafter.
That's weird. How about owl?
Despite the fact that we often refer to the wise old owl, the owl is widely regarded as a bird full of ill omen, and many country people say that to see one flying or hear it hooting by daylight will bring misfortune. The origin of the superstitions about the bird obviously emanate from its solitary nighttime existence and mournful cry. Indeed, there is a belief that anyone who looks into an owl's nest will become unhappy and morose for the rest of his life. If the bird is seen perching for any length of time on a house or flaps its wings against a window pane, it... What's that word? Presages?
Where are you looking?
Right there.
Presages?
That's what I thought. A death or sickness therein. Some country people claim that whenever one hoots, somebody somewhere in the district has just died. Perhaps, though, the strangest superstition about the bird comes from Wales, where it is believed that if an owl is heard hooting among houses, it is signifying that an unmarried girl has just lost her virginity. In France, if a pregnant woman hears one, it is an omen that her child will be a girl, while in Germany, if one is heard hooting as a child is born, the infant will have an unhappy life. In the southern states of America, there is a popular rhyme still repeated about the owl and its cry. When you hear the screech owl, honey, in the sweet gum tree, it's a sign as sure as you're born a death is bound to be. Unless you put the shovel in the fire mighty quick, for to conjure that old screech owl, take care the one that's sick. Okay. Let's see. Nipples.
Oh.
On a male. According to a strange Middle European superstition, it is possible to tell from a man's nipples whether or not he has fathered children. If they are pink in color, then he has not, while if they are brown, then he has.
Shut up.
Oh my gosh. Murder. It comes as no surprise to learn that it is a bad omen to see a murder or to pass a dead body lying on the ground. But in Germany, it is said that the spirits of those who have been murdered must wander about the earth for as long as the natural lives of the victims would have been had they not been murdered. Hmm. What?
Nothing. I was thinking about the nipple one.
Mirror.
Oh.
Another of the oldest and still most widely held superstitions is that to break a mirror will result in 7 years bad luck. Although the origins of this belief have become obscured over the years, it seems to stem from the ancient idea that the reflection of a person seen in a glass was actually their soul, and if this reflection should be shattered, the soul was similarly broken and the person would either die shortly afterwards or at least be unable to go to heaven when he did pass on. There is a strange variation on this superstition to be found among Yorkshire people, who believe that if you break a mirror, you will lose your best friend. Although it is not widely known, the English have a way of preventing the bad luck caused by breaking a mirror. All the splinters of the glass should be carefully collected together and taken to a river or fast-running stream and hurled in. This will then carry away all the misfortune. In America, however, it is not considered unlucky deliberately to break a mirror, and even if you break one accidentally, the 7 years bad luck can be quickly avoided by taking out a $5 note and making the sign of the cross at the same time. This particular note is said to have inherited the good luck qualities previously associated with the gold piece. In Europe, a number of people say that it is unlucky to see yourself in a mirror by candlelight, and that no child should be allowed to gaze in a glass until he is a year old, or he will stutter or not live to a ripe old age.
What?
In many countries, it is not unusual to find the mirrors in a room where someone has died covered with cloths, as it is believed that anyone who sees their reflection in this mirror at this particular time is similarly doomed to death. Equally widespread is the claim that if a mirror falls and breaks for no apparent reason, then someone in the family is going to die. While if a mirror glass inexplicably shatters while still hanging on the wall, then a relative or close friend is near death. Although, as is mentioned elsewhere, it is unlucky for a bride to see herself in her full bridal outfit before she goes to her wedding. A newlywed couple who stand and admire themselves in a mirror while still in their wedding outfits will ensure themselves long life and happiness.
That's craziness.
Laugh. Among many country people, excessive laughter is still looked upon as an evil omen, for the person is held to be possessed by his mirth and cannot hope to live for a great deal longer. In parts of Britain, it is said that to laugh before breakfast will lead to tears before nightfall.
What the fuck is that?
All these are like death and misfortune.
It's bad. And
knock. In Ireland, if a knocking sound is heard 3 nights running on or about midnight, then it is said to be a death omen for someone in the house. Similarly, in Scotland, three knocks at regular intervals of 1 or 2 minutes foretells the same thing. Any knocking noise near the bed of a sick person is also said to be a death omen throughout the British Isles. In Virginia, in the United States, there is a quaint superstition that if you knock on the door of a house and receive no answer, it is a sign of death, though a more likely explanation is that there is no one at home.
So, we're all gonna die.
And we're all gonna die, yes.
That's great. I did find a way that I can control my anger while I'm driving.
Oh, really? How?
I pretend that everyone that's driving stupid is Ryan Reynolds. Because that man can do no wrong.
Oh, no, he cannot.
And I would be so nice to him. It doesn't matter how stupid he is.
I love Ryan Reynolds.
So do I. So everyone's Ryan Reynolds, okay. And it doesn't matter if he's stupid. He's beautiful and okay. Funny. So
I like it. Halloween. Ooh. Halloween, the last night of summer, October 31st, is traditionally the time when the spirits of the dead are allowed a last fling before winter sets in. It is an important night in the witchcraft calendar, and in Ireland, it is said that if you hear footsteps behind you, never look around, for it is one of the dead following you, and if you turn and see him or her, you will soon join them. Or it could be a stalker.
Yeah, and you should turn around.
Yes. No, you should just run. Today, of course, the night has become one for parties and games, particularly in America, where girls still retain two Halloween love traditions. The first instructs them to go to a spring of water carrying a lamp, and if they peer into the depths, they should see reflected their future husband. If they are nervous of going out when it is dark, however, they can go to the same spring during daylight carrying a broken egg in a glass and pour some of the fresh water into it. Shortly after, says the superstition, they should get a picture in the mixture of the man they are to marry, and as a bonus, a vision of the children they will have as well.
That's nice. That's like the first nice one.
Yeah, really.
Maybe we should end on that.
And of course, it's Halloween.
Exactly.
Okay, we have to do one more. Graveyard.
Okay.
Okay. This is my last one. There is an old superstition that the body put in the first grave dug in a new graveyard is always claimed by the devil. It is also said to be unlucky to dig or plow any ground in which a body has been buried, and certainly no crops planted there will flourish. Because of a very ancient superstition that the south wind brings corruption, the south side of churches has always been regarded as the holiest, and it was here for generations that people insisted on being buried. Only folk who had committed suicide or the corpses of stillborn children were buried on the north side. Graves should, of course, always be dug running east to west, so that the corpse may lie with his feet to the east and his head to the west, and thereby be ready to rise when the call comes from the east on the day of judgment. People in many European countries believe it is unlucky to step over a grave, and particularly over one in which lies a stillborn baby or unbaptized child. Despite the long history of grave robbing, it has always been considered unlucky to disturb a grave. You may as well release a ghost, and no good will ever come of using tombstones or any other objects from a graveyard in the construction of a new building. Construction is said to run the risk of collapsing because it has death built into it. Hmm. And that's all I got.
All right. So we need some modern superstitions.
Yes, we do.
Because that's crazy.
I don't think people do superstitions anymore.
Yeah.
Because we are all smarter.
Exactly.
Well, some of us are all smarter.
Some of us are smarter. So I have some unsolved mysteries of people. My sister called me because she was concerned her son had an invisible friend he was always playing with. He had two sisters but preferred to go outside with his friend instead. I brought pictures of various family members over to the house. I asked him to tell me if he saw his friend in any of the photos, wondering if it was a deceased family member of ours keeping him company. I was halfway through the stack, and he was losing interest. All of a sudden, he lit up and said, "That's my friend!" It was a picture of our brother when he was the same age as my nephew. My nephew was named after our brother, who was killed in a car accident when he was 21 years old, over 10 years before. My sister started to cry and told him he was done and could go play with his friend. He still remembers his friend as an adult. He still remembers him?
That is cool.
Holy shit.
Sad, but cool.
Yeah. Back in the 1990s, I gave my mother a very nice CD player as a gift. I had preloaded it with the operatic and classical music for her. When she died years later, I brought the CD player home with me. For the next 2 years, at odd times, the CD player would turn on playing Wagner's March of the Valkyries every time. I was telling my 5 grown children about this one day, out on the deck. I was met with much skepticism until the CD player suddenly turned on and started playing that same song loudly.
That's cool.
No one was in the house. The kids just stared. It did not matter which CD I had put in to play. It always played that march.
That's cool.
That is cool.
I love that song, too.
She's like, no, I want to hear this. In 1972, I gave birth to my first child in the old Charleston, South Carolina Naval Hospital. My mom was in Detroit, Michigan, but flew down to help as my hubby was out at sea. Mom arrived at the hospital and was directed to my ward. On her way, she found me in the hall on a gurney holding my son. She visited, fussed over her beautiful grandson for a half an hour, then went to get coffee. When she came back, she couldn't find me and asked a nurse for help. I was thrilled when my mom arrived. I had been waiting for my mom in my room since I had gave birth hours earlier and was seeing her for the first time. She was confused, claiming to have just visited. Hospital regulations did not allow newborns to be taken out of the maternity ward, let alone left alone in the hallway with their mother. So there's no way she could have found us like that. My mom was totally confused and shocked that she was apparently visiting with my doppelganger before she found me.
Ooh, that's creepy.
That is creepy. What the fuck? It was Christmas Eve a few years ago, and my family had come over for dinner. My sister and brother-in-law were staying over, but everyone else had left. It had been a busy day, so we were tired, so we turned in as soon as the dishes were done. I read in bed for an hour or so, then turned out the bedside light and closed my eyes. A few minutes later, I heard the doorknob turn and the door open, so I sat up to see what my sister wanted. Instantly, a tremendously intense beam of light hit me straight in the eyes. It was so sudden and intense that it was painful. I yelled, "Turn off that damn light, you're blinding me." The light went off and I heard the door clicked close. Furious, I tapped the touch light beside my bed, leaned up, and ran out to find out who had done it. My sister and her husband were snoring in bed, and even their cat was curled up with them. I searched through the house, but the doors were locked and the house was otherwise empty. I was totally freaked out, but later joked that I probably died in my sleep and was supposed to go to the light. We tried shining the brightest flashlight we could from my bedroom door onto the bed, but it wasn't even close to the brilliance of the mystery light. I sold the house not long after and bought another because the creepy light was just one of many strange things that happened there.
Hmm.
That is weird.
Yeah. Wonder what it was.
I don't know. I worked in an old estate house turned into a school. When I started, my friend and I were there late at night decorating the gym for an event with paper snowflakes strung from fishing line and hanging between the basketball hoops. We were alone in the building. As we sat on the floor making more snowflakes and talking, all the rows of the fishing line appeared to have been pulled down on their own. It stayed like that for about 5 seconds, then sprung back up, making all the snowflakes bounce around. Then we heard a woman's voice come from seemingly nowhere saying, "Hello?" We were the only ones there. That's creepy.
Mm-hmm.
The day my dad passed away, my mom and I were keeping vigil at his bedside when my younger brother, his wife, and his son showed up. My mom and I left the room to give them some privacy and to say goodbye. We had been standing outside the room for what seemed like a few minutes when my brother came out, teary-eyed and bewildered. Confused, he asked us why we left the room. We said we wanted to give him and his family some alone time with Dad. My brother looked at us and said that as soon as we turned to leave the room, Dad took his last breath, and he, his wife, and son were all loudly telling us that he'd died and not to leave. My mom and I heard nothing. My brother also swears the door hadn't even closed before he came out to get us, but my mom and I know we'd been outside in the hallway for at least 5 minutes. That is weird.
That is weird.
Holy shit.
Like he didn't want him in there after he died or something?
I don't know. Or as he was dying? Weird. In 2011, I was on the last leg of a cross-country trip with my group when we stopped at a Sizzler in Blythe, California. As I was walking back to my table from the salad bar, a woman was walking toward me. We both stopped mid-stride, just completely flabbergasted because it was like looking into a mirror. She had the same hairstyle, glasses, and outfit on that I did. Not only that, but her face looked just like mine. For a brief moment, I thought I might be walking into a mirrored wall. I was only confident we were different people because she wasn't holding a plate of salad like I was. We didn't say a word to each other, but instead we both took off in opposite directions. That's what I would have done.
That's probably what I would do too. Be like, fuck this shit, I'm out.
I got back to my table and was so confused. Thinking about this encounter still makes me uneasy to this day because I don't know if she was just a doppelganger or it was a glitch in the matrix and I somehow came face to face with myself. I kind of wish I would have said something to her though. I moved out of my parents' house and went to live with my then-girlfriend, so I didn't see my siblings much. One weekend, they drove up with a friend and stayed with me. It was perfect. My girlfriend was away, so we had the whole house to ourselves. We were getting ready to go out, so people were showering and getting dressed all upstairs. I was downstairs in the kitchen washing some dishes. I didn't know it at the time, but both siblings were already outside hanging around the lawn waiting for me and our friend. My friend walked into the kitchen and asked me where everyone was. I looked at him confused and told him that I thought they were all together. When I finished that sentence, we both heard someone run down the stairs and into the hall behind the kitchen. The steps were fast and heavy. There was no mistaking them. Since we had wood flooring, it was even more a distinct sound. The steps faded right before turning into the kitchen. My friend and I freaked the hell out, and both my brothers ran in to see what the commotion was about. There was no one else there. It wasn't the first time I had the experience, something like this in my house, and it definitely creeped me out.
Yep, that's creepy.
That is totally creepy. That's a very distinct sound, as footsteps. Mm-hmm. Like, you can't, like, there's nothing else.
Especially when you know the noises of your house.
Yeah, absolutely. My husband and I stayed in Sedona, Arizona for 2 months about 12 years ago. One day we decided to eat lunch at a local restaurant. It was chilly, so we both were wearing our down vests. Mine was blue and his was black. While we ate, we took our vests off and draped them over the back of our chairs. When we finished, I took my vest off the chair back and carried it out. My husband was paying the check and forgot his vest when we left. A couple minutes later, he realized that he had left it on the chair and went back to our table to get it. It was not there. We asked the manager if anyone had turned it in, but no such luck. We asked the other patrons at the table near us if they had seen anyone take that black vest, but they said no. We left our name and phone number in case someone turned it in, but never heard back from the restaurant. As it was still cold in Sedona, my husband needed a down vest, so the next day we bought another one for him to wear. A few weeks later, we drove back to our home in Chicago. When we got to our house, my husband went to hang up the new vest he'd bought. He opened the closet, and there, hanging neatly in its customary spot, was the black vest he'd lost in Sedona. Oh my God.
I would freak out.
That is so crazy. What the fuck is that?
I don't know.
Holy shit. Okay, when I was about 6 years old, my dad, mom, two brothers, and I lived in a duplex in San Antonio, Texas. One night, my father was next door at the neighbor's house, and my mom was at work. She worked night shift as a waitress. My brothers and I were in our bedroom, which had two beds in it. They slept in one, and I slept in the other by myself every night. On this particular night, we were all jumping on our beds, which our parents never allowed us to do. We laughed and threw pillows at each other and were just having a fun time with no parents around to tell us to stop. After a while, our beds began to shake on their own. This made us stop and look at each other, confused. We couldn't make the whole bed. We were standing on top of it to vibrate like that. Suddenly, the beds began to move around the room, sliding from one side as if someone was or something was moving them, wanting to join in on our fun. We were too afraid to jump off the beds, so we stood and stared, puzzled. Finally, we heard our father walk in the front door, and the bed stopped moving completely. The bed covers, our hair, and clothes were a mess, so when my father saw the room, he didn't want to hear anything we had to say. He just demanded we cleaned it up. He pushed the beds back to their original places because we were too small to do it. I remember that night like it happened yesterday. It never happened again, but it wasn't the end of the paranormal activity in my life. That is fucking creepy.
That is very creepy.
How was the dad moving the beds back and not thinking they couldn't do this?
Oh. Because they believe what they want to believe.
I guess. And my last one. When I was 7, I was supposed to sleep over at my friend's house down the street. As I was getting ready to go, my grandmother suddenly told me that I was not going. I hadn't done anything wrong to warrant the change of heart, but she still wouldn't let me go. Tons of whining and crying ensued, but she would not budge and would not give me a reason. As it turned out, my friend's mother was having an affair. Her boyfriend came to the house in the middle of the night and shot and killed my friend's mother.
Ooh.
A bullet was lodged in my friend's face, and her brother was shot in the back. I would have been right next to my friend who was shot if I had gone that night.
Ooh.
Holy shit. Yes, chills. Grandma.
Yes, really. All right, it's time for the Woody Wrap-Up.
Yay, Woody Wrap-Up!
I did funny tweets.
Okay.
My 6-year-old is chanting all the words that rhyme with sucker, and this is going to end badly in about 3 seconds.
Oh, shit.
When I was growing up, water was the only approved drink between meals. Yesterday, my son asked for milk after playing outside at my parents', and my dad poured his grandson a giant cup of chocolate milk. It was not even anyone's birthday or anything.
Actually, what the fuck?
Rude. Apparently, my 9-year-old daughter's imaginary friend is the ghost of an 8-year-old named Rose who died of the bubonic plague 200 years ago, and I'm sure this is a completely normal developmental stage.
What? That's creepy, and I love it.
Yes. Sorry, kids, I missed your childhood. I was busy trying to catch up on emails from your school. Yeah.
That's hilarious.
I was going through an old keepsakes box of mine and found a 4-colored pen. I asked my 6-year-old if she'd like to have the cool pen I used when I was a kid. Her eyes lit up, then I gave it to her and she frowned. Oh, I thought it was going to be one of those feathers, she said.
Shut the fuck, a feather? Oh my God.
Oh, that is harsh. That is harsh.
Okay. We've had this conversation before. I get it. We were born in the 1900s. But Jesus Christ, a feather?
That's going back a little bit too far, I think.
That's so funny.
Do you think in heaven you can pee anywhere you want? My daughter asking the big questions.
Abso-fucking-lutely you can, honey. Go for it.
Oh, shoot. My phone's about to die.
Oh.
Be warned that if you buy your 5-year-old an old watch, you are going to get minute-by-minute updates on what the current time is.
That's great.
Forget about the 12 to 20 month stage of having a baby, where your house is just littered with random objects they picked up, carried around, and dropped for no reason, like you live inside a claw machine.
Seriously, what is that?
I don't know. I forgot to tell my four-year-old that today is leap day before she left for school and squandered an opportunity to make a big deal out of nothing.
Aw, shit.
Dang. Young children sneeze with the intent of destroying the world. I called to my son from another room and he yelled, "Just text me." Mm-hmm. And that's all you need to know about parenting teens.
Today, yeah.
Yeah. My daughter asked if babies come from Walmart, and I was like, pretty much. Me, come here, is spelled C-O-M-E, not C-U-M.
Oh!
My kid. Does it really matter how I spell
yes.
it? Me.
Yes! Yes, it does. Definitely matters. With that word, that's
definitely,
it.
Yes. 11-year-old, do you know where my sunglasses are? Me, the car? 11-year-old, no, I looked. 2 days later, while driving my kid to school, 11-year-old, my sunglasses!
Oh, what a fucking surprise.
Mm-hmm. My kids are playing doctor's office, and the receptionist just said, "The doctor will see you in 5 seconds." And this is the least realistic game I've ever seen.
What? Yep,
it is.
Why would someone say that?
The aggressiveness of my teenager sitting down on the couch is equal to him being dropped on it from 4,000 feet in the air. Like, why? Gosh. Ain't that the truth?
Yeah.
Just an update. My kids are on their 99th cold this winter.
Oh, God.
I like mommy's car better. My daughter in the back seat of my truck having to use a Home Depot receipt to wipe her nose. Parents, if you ever need a reminder about the power of peer pressure, my 13-year-old son went from never eating vegetables to now eating literally dried seaweed because his friend told him all the seaweed will help grow a mustache.
That is hilarious. Maybe that's what we should start doing. Telling kids that healthy food like helps something like that.
My teen thinks staring at me while I cook dinner will make it go faster. I've had to tell people that at work. They're like standing over my shoulder, trying, you know, waiting for something. It's like, you need to go away. We got a notification from daycare that our four-year-old bit a kid yesterday. We were shocked and didn't believe it until a couple minutes later when we got a notification that our two-year-old was bitten by a kid. Brotherly love at its finest right there.
Aw.
And that was my last one.
That one was great. Well, thank you so much for listening. Send in your stories, ghoulsnightoutpodcast@gmail.com. You can rate, review, and subscribe wherever you listen. And we will talk to you in a couple weeks.
Later.
Bye.